Pat Boyle with you here on the Infinity Sports Network. We're with you every Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific. You can tweet me or find me on Instagram, both at PatBoyle44. You heard Broncos radio with the Troy Franklin touchdown, one of only two in this sloppy, ugly Thursday night football game. You heard Raiders radio with the ill-fated missed field goal from Daniel Carlson, and then you heard Broncos radio, the final call. Woof! Just remember in mid-March when we're all begging for the NFL to come back, and you say to yourself, I would take a 10-7 Broncos win over the Raiders right now if it meant we have football back. Just remember that. But my goodness, at times, I had to peel my eyelids open to stay entertained with this game. The Broncos win. That's the thing that matters most. Seven straight wins. They've built themselves a little bit of a cushion. A little bit of a cushion for the pushing atop the AFC West. But man, their offense has miles to go before you can count on this team to win a playoff game in January. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. And let's get the negative out of the way before I praise Denver and this elite number one defense in the NFL, in my opinion. Let's get the ugly out of the way. Because they've got a monster game coming up in 10 days from now against the Kansas City Chiefs, where if the Chiefs want to make a run at another AFC West title, they're going to have to beat the Broncos when they play them 10 days from now. And the Kansas City Chiefs have won this puppy 9 straight years. If the Broncos want to hold off the Chiefs, they've got to figure out this offense because it is putrid. It is so bad on so many different angles right now. Let's just start with where the Broncos rank in terms of yards per game. They are 15th, middle of the pack, right? Smack dab in the middle of the pack in the National Football League. They're almost in the exact same spot in passing yards per game, and in rushing yards per game, they're top 10. Okay. Not bad. In terms of points per game, the Broncos are also right near the middle of the pack, right near 15th in points per game. But man, this team, they cannot figure it out for the life of them how to get going on early starts and how to put up points in the first quarter. Forget the first quarter. How about quarters 1 through 3? Coming into this game tonight, the Broncos had scored nearly half of their points on the entire season in just the fourth quarter alone. Think about how many wins they've had to pull out of you-know-where this year. Remember, just back on Sunday, they trailed 15-7 going into the fourth quarter against Houston. They scored 11 in a row to win the game. The miracle win against the Giants a couple of weeks ago, they trailed that game 19-0 going into the fourth quarter and then ripped off 33. They also barely beat the Jets in London 13-11. They trailed the Eagles a month ago, 17-3 going into the fourth quarter and scored 18 unanswered. The late game heroics by this Denver Broncos team has been nothing shy of spectacular, but imagine if they could actually put some offense together in the first three quarters, just how dominant of a squad they could be. And look, a lot of it is on Sean Payton. A lot of it is on Bo Nix as well. The offensive line I thought was going to be an elite offensive line. It's been mid, to say the best, to say the least, to say the mid. And Bo Nix, in the first three quarters, he's got a touchdown to interception ratio of about 2-1. And his quarterback rating is in the bottom half of the NFL. In the fourth quarter this year, Bo Nix has a touchdown to interception ratio of 7-1, and he's got a quarterback rating over 100. That's in the top 5. Why is it so difficult for Sean Payton, offense coordinator Joe Lombardi, Bo Nix, and this offense? They've got all week. Well, this was a short week, but most of the time, they've got a full week to script an opening drive, to have a game plan for the first half, and consistently, they have failed. They have struggled. The run game with J.K. Dobbins has been, like I said, in the top 10, and I love the rookie R.J. Harvey. But on a game like tonight against Vegas, the Raiders held the Broncos without a first down for the first four drives. It was four straight three and outs against a Raiders defense that was in the bottom 10 in the NFL coming into this game tonight. And it was just stubbornness. When the Raiders were stacking the box and stuffing the run on first down, and Denver found themselves in second and 12s, third and 13s, you know, penalties didn't help either. You would think maybe after the first two drives, all right, let's change the game plan here. Let's mix it up. Let's start throwing on first down. Let's start throwing some screens. Let's start getting some short passes. Let's do anything so that we're not consistently in third and long. And that is where they continued to find themselves. And Sean Payton stubbornly kept trying to establish the run, and it wasn't happening. So it's a little bit of everything. It's the quarterback play for sure. Bo Nix, I mean, he had another like rough game. Their one touchdown pass to Troy Franklin made one nice throw on the run to Pat Bryan. Other than that, he struggled for most of the night. The run game, it was okay. And their receivers struggled to get separation against a Raiders secondary that has been brutal this year. And I thought Sean Payton's play calling lacked a ton of creativity. I think there's something to be said about the Broncos, where they already had one eye looking forward to next week against the Chiefs, which shouldn't happen. This is a Thursday night game. You have a full week and a half. You've got a mini bye after this game to do a full preparation for the Kansas City Chiefs. And it felt like the Broncos came into this game off of another come-from-behind win on Sunday against the Texans, and they said, ah, we'll just show up, and that'll be enough to beat the Raiders. And I think that played a part in it. You can't be... This is the NFL. Even teams as bad as the Raiders, you cannot take them lightly. This is a short week divisional battle game, and Las Vegas came to play, at least their defense did, and they shot themselves in the foot so many times. So many times. We'll get to the Raiders' point of view in just a little bit, but the Broncos were lucky to escape this game with a win. And there's something to be said about how amazing their defense is, which, by the way, I mean, that is putting it lightly. The Broncos have 46 sacks this season. Not only does that lead the NFL, the next closest team, the Lions, have 28. They have 18 more sacks than the second best team in football in sacks this year. And since the start of last season, this Broncos pass rush has 109 sacks. That is 37 more than the next closest team. And also, for reference, I said the Lions were second in sacks with 28. The gap between them and the worst team in the NFL in terms of sacks, the Jaguars, is also 18. So that just goes to show you how dominant this pass rush is, and it helped win the Broncos the game tonight, because after the Raiders scored on their second drive, I mean, Geno Smith was under duress all game long. I mean, he couldn't buy himself a single second of breathing room with how amazing Nick Benito has been. He's got 9.5 sacks. That's third best in the NFL. And Jonathan Cooper, he's got 7.5 sacks. That's tied for fifth. And give Vance Joseph a ton of credit. He's having the time of his life. Remember that? A couple of years ago when he was head coach. Forget the name of that sideline reporter that said that. But anyway, Vance Joseph deserves an amazing amount of credit for how elite and ferocious this defense is. But look, the Broncos offense, they got to figure it out, man. They're averaging under 14 points per game in the first three quarters. That's 21st in the NFL. And then they turn it on once the fourth quarter hits, thinking, all right, we've played with our food enough. I think we can maybe turn it on here. Like that is not the type of strategy. That's not the type of DNA you want heading towards the second half of the season and once this team gets to the playoffs. That will not work against Kansas City. That will not work against Buffalo. That will not work against any other team they face in the playoffs. And so they've got to figure it out. I cannot believe how little of a focal point Courtland Sutton plays in this offense when he's such a great number one receiver. His ability to make contested catches, to make catches in traffic. He's great, and it feels like Sean Payton would rather try to, you know, get these cute plays involved for Evan Engram, who had another two drops in the first half tonight. He's been terrible the last couple of weeks. They'd rather try to focus on guys like Troy Franklin, who, you know, again, had a touchdown catch tonight, but like throwing the ball to Troy Franklin, getting him more targets than Courtland Sutton should almost never happen. And I don't care what the game plan is from the other team, whether they try to double team Courtland Sutton, bracket cover him, you got to scheme ways for your number one receiver to get open. It was mind-boggling, though, to see how many negative plays Denver had on first and second down. It's like, what is the play call? What is the plan? What is the game plan? That's what's the most frustrating. They do have the ability to put up 25, 30 points. And yet for the first three quarters, they're lost in the desert. They're lost in the Rocky Mountains. Bo Nix said after the game on the broadcast, he goes, something's got to change. Yeah, you're damn right. You're damn right something's got to change. Here was Sean Payton after the game on the hard-fought victory.
A hard-fought win. A lot of stuff for us to cover. And yet, I'm real proud of the fight. You know, give Vegas credit. They came in here. They had a real good plan. Did some things that were challenging.
Yeah, I mean, they did some things that were challenging, but it's on you. You're playing a 2-7 team, and the defense for the Raiders, like I said, they've been in the bottom 10 in the NFL in most statistical categories. You got to find a way to overcome that. You got to put bad teams away a lot faster than they have, rather than needing all these fourth quarter comebacks. And like I said, look at the teams they've struggled with. Like this, you know, people will say, and I think it's a fair criticism, that this is like such a fraudulent 7-game win streak right now that maybe the Broncos are frauds because they were down 19-0 going into the fourth quarter against the Giants. Needed to beat the Jets 13-11 in a game where the Jets threw for negative passing yards. When you factor in all the sacks the Broncos had in that game, they struggled to put away the Texans in a game that Davis Mills played nearly three quarters in as the quarterback once CJ Stroud left with a concussion. And they won this game 10-7 tonight against the Raiders, who have had no offense and also have had a bad defense. Broncos are lucky the easiest part of their schedule has already been in front of them. The back half ain't going to look so easy. They got to play the Chiefs twice. They got to play the Chargers again. Denver also has to play Green Bay. And they got to play Jacksonville, which that feels like that's a game that they will absolutely be favored in. But the biggest thing is here, you need to win the division. And I picked the Broncos before the season to win the AFC West because I thought the Chiefs would struggle in the regular season. It's played out exactly that way so far. But man, this is a really unconvincing 8-2. And as good as the record looks right now, they still got to play the Chiefs twice. That's the biggest thing. If Kansas City sweeps the season series, you could kiss the division goodbye, and then the Broncos will have to play on the road in the wild card round. And that's the last place this team wants to be. This defense has been way too damn good to spoil it with an offense that is so head-scratchingly inconsistent. Here was Bo Nix after the game. He admitted the offense has struggled, but man, the team keeps finding ways to win.
We just have a tough and resilient football team. We find ways to win. Usually right now it's the defense leading the charge. They just continue to get us the ball back. A bunch of sacks tonight, you know, a few that were in field goal range that knocked them out. And you'll win a lot of games with a defense playing like that.
Yeah, six sacks to be exact. Nick Benito with a sack and a half. Talanoa Hufanga, who I love that they added in the offseason, he had a sack. Zach Allen had another one. Jonathan Cooper had a half a sack. And they're 5-0 at home. And in the NFL, a win is a win is a win. But something tells me the Broncos will still win the AFC West. But they can't afford to get swept by the Chiefs. And no matter what happens, this offense has a long way to go before we seriously consider the Broncos as a contender to get to the Super Bowl. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. It is the Pat Boyle Show. We're going to get to so much during the show here. It's a Friday edition. The Triple P's already live. I'll tell you more about it when we come back. We got Boyle's Best Bites and a Friday edition coming here, so get your best food bites of the week submissions into my Twitter at PatBoyle44. We got PB Picks. We got our buddy Zach Gelb coming up in hour number three. Boyle versus Gelb, season-long picks competition against the spread. That's going to be tasty. I'm now two back of Zach. I've cut his lead in half. Plus, we'll get to almost every game this weekend. We'll talk some college football headlines as well. Preview a couple of monster games that are going to be coming up on Saturday. And so much more. So if you want to get aboard, the phone number is 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. But when we come back, I want to focus on the Vegas side of things. Can Chip Kelly be one and done this year in Vegas? And is it time to go to Kenny Pickett? Oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Sin City, you naughty, naughty, naughty team. It is the Pat Boyle Show. We're coming right back. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Pat Boyle. Phone number to join, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4476. Programming note, the Triple P is live. Who is Pat's primetime player? Who had the best performance in the world of sports last night? And look, there are times where the Triple P is loaded with superstar talent, and it is tough to just pick four. Tonight, not one of those nights. So here's your four options, and you do your best to decide who had the best performance last night. Option number one, Troy Franklin, Broncos wide receiver, the former Oregon Duck, able to hook up with his former quarterback, Bo Nix, on that touchdown pass, the lone Broncos touchdown of the game. Troy Franklin with 40 receiving yards and a touchdown. And this is a guy that's carving out quite the role for himself in this Broncos offense. He's now got four touchdowns in the last four games. And so he is now up to 425 yards and five tutties on the season. Troy Franklin, 40 yards and a touchdown. He's option number one. Option number two, you know I had to pick somebody from this Broncos defense when they get six sacks and hold the Raiders to 7 points, and it is their best pass rusher, Nick Bonito, who had 1.5 sacks to go with five tackles and two tackles for a loss in the win. Option number three, we had one NBA game tonight, and it was one that, you know, if it was in my backyard, I probably would have drawn the blinds. It was the Clippers and the Suns, no Kawhi Leonard, no James Harden, so a shorthanded Clips team lose to the Phoenix Suns, and Jalen Green in his Suns debut scores 29 points. He had two steals. He's option number three. And then option number four, on the ice in the NHL. How about Blues goalie Joel Hofer with 28 saves and a shutout as the St. Louis Blues shut out the Sabres on the road 3-0. So there's your four choices. Troy Franklin, Nick Bonito, Jalen Green, and Joel Hofer. Check it out on my Twitter at PatBoyle44. Get your votes in. We'll crown a champion every day around 5:30 a.m. Eastern. All right, before we get to the Raiders side of things, as their latest loss now drops them to 2-7. Let's get a phone call here in on the Broncos. Matt in Rhode Island, next up on the Pat Boyle Show. What's going on, Matty?
Yeah, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
You know, are we not giving the Broncos enough credit here? I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboy fan, so I can't root for them. But Sean Payton's as good as it gets. And he knows that he's got two games coming up against Kansas City. And for him to play at vanilla the last 3 or 4 weeks. Now, obviously, you don't want to go down 19-0 to the Giants. You know, I mean, you can't script that. But he scripted this vanilla, knowing that he's got two games coming up that if he splits, he wins the division. Can we just say that maybe he's playing to his strengths? And by that, I mean he's playing to his defense. The Raiders tonight had nobody. I mean, Jacoby Myers is gone. They've got a tight end. They've got a rookie running back, and they've got Geno. I mean, they've got no offense. He's not scared of that.
Yeah, but that's a dangerous game to play. Like managing the game to try to win without putting forth your best offensive effort. They absolutely could have lost this game. Bo Nix threw another two interceptions. And the offense hasn't looked good in the first three quarters all season. So, I mean, what is Sean Payton waiting for week 15 to try to bring out his best offensive game plan? Like, that's just not a sustainable strategy.
It is sustainable because, what are you, 8-2 right now?
Correct.
if he was 5-5, I would say, okay, you got a point. But guess what? He's 8-2 in the toughest division in football. That's the toughest division of football, and he's on top of it. And by the way, he is a offensive minded coach. He always has been. And I'm not giving him credit. I'm just saying, hold on, wait a minute. Let's see how the next two out of the three games play with them playing Kansas City. Two out of the next three games. If he splits, and they end up going 10-3. And he's on top of the division. You might have a different stance. Is all I'm saying.
Well, Matt, here's my stance. I picked the Broncos to win the division before the season started, so I obviously feel pretty good. I felt pretty good about Sean Payton and Bo Nix in this offense. But to just say, hey, they're 8-2, they haven't really had to do much, and give Sean Payton credit. You know how lucky they were to beat the Giants? They were down 19-0 going into the fourth quarter. Was that Sean Payton's game plan? They beat the Jets 13-11 in the game where the Jets, when you count the sack yardage the Broncos had, the Jets had negative passing yards, and they still won the game by 2 points. So, forgive me for not praising Sean Payton, because they're 8-2 when they have been so fortunate to win so many of their ball games this year. Because their defense is so great, that gives Sean Payton a pass for this offense to be so damn vanilla? No. And you're saying, well, if they split against the Chiefs, I know Kansas City has had their problems this year. I'll tell you this much, Denver plays the way they have in the first three quarters all season long. They ain't going to split. They'll get swept, and they'll watch the division lead fall right out under them. And forget about the division, too. Like, this matters for January. At a certain point, What did one great coach say one time? They are who we thought they were. If Denver gets to the postseason and they put forth a dud against the Bills, Chiefs, I think the Ravens are going to make the playoffs, Baltimore. Oh, then they're going to be one and done again, just like they were last year when they got creamed by Buffalo. I will give Sean Payton this. Last year, the Broncos got off to a 5-5 start. And they scored 10 points in a blowout loss against the Ravens and 14 points in a loss against the Chiefs. And then they finished the year by winning 5 out of their last 7 games, and they scored 38, 29, 41, 31, 27, 24, and 38. So their offense back half of last year was great, and it's part of the reason why I had so much confidence that they would win the division this year. But man, they are riding a dangerous, dangerous road every single week, and sooner or later it's going to bite them in the ass. It's going to bite them in the ass. Now, on to the Vegas. I would say there isn't much to say about the Raiders, but you guys know I have a lot to say, and you guys know that I love the NFL. So there's a lot to say about Vegas. First and foremost, I feel like it's time for Kenny Pickett. I like Geno Smith. Right? They wrote me off, but I didn't write back. Had a great couple of seasons in Seattle with Pete Carroll. That's why they traded for him this offseason. Rejuvenated his career after the Jets did their best to destroy his career. But man, he's done nothing to inspire you this year. He's got more interceptions than he does passing touchdowns. And I get it, the offensive line stinks, and he was under pressure all night, but at some point, you got to make a change. And I'm not saying that Kenny Pickett, they're going to, you know, all of a sudden find something in Kenny Pickett. I think we know who Kenny Pickett is, but this Raiders offense stinks on ice. And how is he not looking for Brock Bowers on almost every play tonight? I'll get to Chip Kelly in a minute because he's just as much to blame. And so is the organization for drafting a running back at sixth overall when you got so many other problems. And I love Ashton Jeanty. Shouldn't be on this team because there weren't a running back away. But Geno Smith has thrown them out of so many games this year with his boneheaded mistakes in the red zone and taking unnecessary sacks. Just taking unnecessary sacks. You know, first drive of the game, they're doing well. They're driving the ball down the field against this Broncos defense. They got a 3rd and 3, and they're right on the edge of field goal range. 3rd and 3 at the Denver 37. What does Geno Smith do? He takes a sack. You got to have that in mind, man, where you are on the field. If you throw an incompletion, okay. You're lined up for a 55-yarder. I know the wind was tough tonight in this game, and Carlson ends up missing a 48-yard field goal later in the game anyway. But opening drive, you're in field goal range. You've got a chance for points. You can't take a sack to push yourself out of field goal range. You just simply can't do it. Same thing, and they shot themselves in the foot with penalties. Early second quarter, they had a 4th and 2. They go for it. They score a touchdown on a great play call for Trey Tucker, and it gets nullified by an offensive holding. And so, I mean, that's another opportunity of them shooting themselves in the foot. Third quarter, Geno Smith, the one interception he threw wasn't his fault at all tonight. Went right off the hands of Ashton Jeanty. Then they get a punt blocked, and then they missed the field goal to tie the game in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was self-inflicted wound after self-inflicted wound for the Las Vegas Raiders. But sooner or later, you got to make a change. And it stinks that Aiden O'Connell broke his wrist in preseason, and he still hasn't come on off the injured reserve yet. Because I thought Aiden O'Connell did enough good things last year to stay on this roster. And I would have loved for them to have gone to Aiden O'Connell at this point. But you can't just keep running Geno out there. And I have an issue as well with them keeping him in the ball game in the fourth quarter after he suffers what the team called a quad contusion. Takes a hit on a scramble. You know, he has to limp off the field. Kenny Pickett comes in there for 2 plays. And then they go back to Geno Smith when he is clearly compromised. They get the interception of Bo Nix midway through the fourth quarter. It's 10-7. They start it in Denver territory. And because Geno is hobbled and he's trying to grit through and fight through the game, which I give him credit for, he's a warrior, he'll never question Geno Smith's toughness. But at that point, that's got to be a coaching decision by Pete Carroll. Let's get Kenny Pickett in the game because he was no threat to throw the ball. He was no threat to move. They run the ball 5 straight times, and then on 3rd and 6, Geno, they're forced to throw it. He's under pressure right away. He runs out of the pocket and throws it away. You had a chance to win the game on that drive, and you got your quarterback who's hobbled, limping, grimacing, and you can't throw the ball. What was the game plan there? Game plan was to just try to run the ball 6-7 straight times and try to then kick a field goal? That's why you're 2-7. That's a loser mentality. Put Kenny Pickett in there and at least see if he can make something happen. What do you have to lose? Rather than you put Geno in and then you run the ball 5 straight times, which tells us you got no confidence in him throwing the ball right now. So why is he in there? You got nothing to lose at this stage of the season, and they played it conservatively. They played not to lose, and then you miss a 48-yard field goal. So what, like even then, if you made the field goal, it's a tie game, Denver gets the ball back with 4.5 minutes left. Then what, you're hoping your defense gets a stop and then you can drive down the field and win the game or win it in overtime? You had a chance to go for the kill shot. Just terrible coaching. Terrible coaching, and that's why this organization continues to lose year after year after year. But hey, Pete Carroll, here he was after the game telling us the Raiders are on the right track.
There's so many things we can get better at, but The fight is in this dog now, ain't no doubt about it. And I couldn't wait to tell them how proud I was of the way they competed. And so we all know in this room we're gonna do something. And so it's just a matter of time.
We're going to do something? What? Do something as in maybe win 5 games next year? 6 games? You realize the division you're in? You got the Chiefs of Patrick Mahomes, who's been to a Super Bowl three straight years. You got the Chargers with Justin Herbert, made the playoffs last year. Jim Harbaugh is the coach there. They're a good, strong, foundational organization now that they've actually got a good head coach. And now you got the Broncos, who've got eight wins. They got a young quarterback in Bo Nix, and I know I've, you know, mentioned the problems about the offense, but they got the best pass defense in football, the best team that gets after the quarterback. Where are you doing something? You got a 35-year-old quarterback with no backup plan. You got an offense that has got one legitimate weapon in Brock Bowers after you traded Jacoby Myers away, and you threw the ball to Brock Bowers how many times tonight? Three? He had one catch for 31 yards. He ripped off a big one in the first half. How is he not targeted 8, 9, 10 times tonight? I don't care what the game plan is for Denver. Find a way to get him open. And that's my biggest issue with this team is Chip Kelly. How many times do we have to see Chip Kelly get a chance in the NFL, whether it's at a head coach or a coordinator, and him fail miserably? Go back to college. He can't make it in the NFL. I mean, in some of the play calls, he tried a jet sweep with Brock Bowers that lost 5 yards. Like, this isn't the Big Ten, Chip. That ain't going to work against a team that has as much athleticism and strength and speed as the Broncos do. So the Raiders continue to put themselves in positions where they're going to fail. And I don't know how many years Pete Carroll's sticking around. Maybe one more year next year? But whatever the plan is and was for Vegas this year, it was never going to work. It was never going to work. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. When we come back, more on why the Raiders have put themselves in this position to fail. And it started all the way back in April. And we'll also get to your phone calls. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This is the Pat Boyle Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Update time. Here's Marco Belletti. Welcome back to the show. Phone number to join is 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4476. So we were talking before the break about the Raiders' continued struggles. And, I mean, look, it's really no surprise when you go back to the draft. Now, they hired John Spytek to be their new GM. That could have been bad. They hired John Spytek to be their new GM. And he's coming over from the last couple of years as the assistant GM of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Well, mistake number one was in the draft. And I've said this over and over again, and I don't know how many more times I have to say it. This team was nowhere near a running back away from being a playoff team. Like, that's what playoff caliber teams do. Remember when the Chiefs drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire late first round? Not that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like, really ever seriously panned out in Kansas City. But for the Chiefs roster at the time, it was pretty much stacked. And it was like, all right, yeah, you know what? We can add a good first round running back to, like, help us, you know, go over the top here, bolster our chances, bolster our offense, a nice young running back that we can run into the ground because, you know, that's running backs. They don't mean much. They're just bodies that we, you know, use to barrel through the offensive line. The Raiders have a terrible offensive line. They've got a bad defense. They needed help at wide receiver. Jacoby Myers asked for a trade before the season. They said, nope. And you know what? We're not going to pay you either. And then you trade him at the trade deadline. And you got one legitimate weapon right now in Brock Bowers. Instead, the Raiders said, we've got the sixth overall pick. We could bolster the O-line, which has been bad for years. We could help out the defense, which is really just Max Crosby to write home about. No, let's draft Ashton Jeanty because that'll definitely solve all of our problems, right? Ashton Jeanty gets hit at or behind the line of scrimmage on almost one-third of his runs this year. That's the worst in the NFL. I don't care if Ashton Jeanty was the second coming of Barry Sanders. He was never going to raise the ceiling of this team because they're not a running back away. And Ashton Jeanty's great. I love Ashton Jeanty. Like, on the Broncos, he would be cooking. On a team like the Chiefs, he'd be great. On a team, the LA Rams, they've already got two running backs. The Seahawks have two running backs. On a team like the Chargers, who went into the season with Najee Harris, and then he had that fireworks incident. Now he's done for the year. They're going to Kaimani Vidal. Like, Ashton Jeanty on the Chargers, oh my God, he might have ran for 1,500 yards this season. on the Raiders, it's never going to work until you improve that offensive line. And so you want to know how some organizations continue to be losing organizations year after year after year. You make organizational mistakes like the ones the Raiders made with the draft. Like, the Giants gave you the blueprint. They drafted Saquon Barkley, number two overall. It got him one playoff win. And then he went to Philadelphia and had one of the best seasons ever and won a Super Bowl. The Jaguars drafted Leonard Fournette several years ago now. That didn't work out for them either when they were picking in the top 10. I don't know who made that decision. I don't know if it was Pete Carroll. I don't know if Pete Carroll said, I'll take the head coaching job here, but give me a good running back that I can use at my disposal. I don't know if it was Chip Kelly. Although I don't think it was, because Chip Kelly, remember he tried to change Ashton Gentry's Michael Myers Halloween stance in the backfield like right away? And then after like the first great game Ashton Gentry had, he goes, nah, I'm going back to the Halloween Michael Myers stand up straight, intimidating stance. Like, yeah, good, real good job, Chip Kelly. We're going to teach these guys to be football players. Nobody's going to stand up in the backfield of my offense. You're a loser. That's what Chip Kelly's been in the NFL. I don't know if it was John Spytek's decision. I don't know if Tom Brady made the decision. But drafting a running back sixth overall told you everything you needed to know about how this Raiders season was going to go. Because Geno Smith gets sacked six times tonight. He's got more interceptions than touchdowns. And Ashton Gentry, when he gets through the hole, he's great. He had 60 rushing yards and a touchdown tonight. But far too often he gets hit behind the line of scrimmage. Just grinds my gears, man, when teams make bad decision after bad decision. 888-710-4476. All right, quick pivot. I saw in the news, the Miami Dolphins have gotten rid of their Papa Shot in the locker room. Mind you, 2 weeks ago, there was a headline, the Dolphins aren't blaming the Papa Shot in the locker room for their bad record. Folks, the jokes write themselves. They got rid of the Papa Shot because they're 2-7. Look out now, everybody. The Dolphins mean business. They're not messing around now. The Papa Shot is gone. It's gone. Patrick Paul, one of their linemen, joked that he got beat and broke the Papa Shot, and he said, I don't know, wanted to redecorate, I guess. Like, we're at this stage of the season. The Ravens, Lamar Jackson, told them to get rid of all the video games and the ping pong table. And look what the Ravens have done. They won two in a row. That's a serious organization. The Dolphins are 2-7, but look out. They got rid of the Papa Shot, so now here they come. Papa Shot, great game, by the way. Connor Armstrong filling in producing tonight for Pete the Body. Sal and Sal Acata, Brandon Tierney, they've got a Papa Shot in their office. I can't tell you how many times when I've done double shifts here or overnight producing shifts before I got my show or update shifts, where in between updates, I would run down to their office, play six games of Papa Shot, work up a sweat, and be pissed that I couldn't hit more than four threes in a row. Papa Shot, one of the great arcade games of all time, or what?
Yeah, really between Papa Shot and, like, air hockey for me.
Yep.
I mean, air hockey's just unbelievable.
Have you played the Papa Shot in their office?
I've not played it here, no.
What are you waiting for?
I know, man. I got.
What are you worried that you're going to get caught on camera and somebody's going to yell at you?
Maybe.
Nah, you got to check out the Papa Shot. Tremendous game. Although sometimes I think it's rigged. That rim is unforgiving. There are some Papa Shots I've played where you get a nice soft bounce. The Papa Shot that we have here down the hall is brutal. It's brutal. Unless you swish it in, it ain't going in the bucket. It's an unforgiving, cruel, you know what. So, the Miami Dolphins, they've gotten rid of theirs. Look out. Here comes Miami. When we come back, we'll preview a couple of big games coming up on Sunday. We got a great slate. Couple of games where both teams are above 500. Drake May and the Patriots in Tampa Bay. And the Rams and Niners rematch from a thriller on Thursday night a couple of weeks ago. We'll get into both of those next on the Pat Boyle Show.